Put the money in the jacket, and the jacket on the kangaroo, and now he's hopping away.
I started watching that again.
It's not good.
It is not a good movie. However, do I think every time I'm in an airplane going to the bathroom, just, oh, look at all the green. Oh, it's slipping through my fingers.
Oh, it slipped. And now it's in my hands.
Yes.
Can I? So funny thing about Kangaroo Jack, it was originally supposed to be an R-rated comedy.
Okay, even funnier thing about Kangaroo Jack, when I worked at Warner Brothers, we had a special field trip to the Warner Brothers, or the archives that they have, where they've got, like, every single Batmobile. They had Dean's car from Supernatural. They had the, like, van that they use in Suicide Squad, the, like, pinky purple van. The miniatures that they use in Batman, the headstones for Beetlejuice, like really, really cool things, like legitimately, like amazing stuff to see in real life. The Wild Things from Where the Wild Things Are, just like those big ass puppet guys. Do you know the thing that I was the most excited about seeing?
The jacket from Kangaroo Jack?
The whole ass kangaroo, Zachary! He was just sitting as if you were in a movie prop Costco, is how everything is categorized. It's a warehouse, so it makes perfect sense. It's just him fucking sitting on a couple of boxes, his head down, because he's a goddamn puppet. He's not going to be, like, upright and erect. They didn't get him prepared to be shown off because they didn't think anybody would care. I fucking cared, though. I was so excited to see. It was like seeing a friend. Hey, buddy, me and my buddy Jared were both so excited to see Kangaroo Jack. Meanwhile, behind us, the some of the little, like, interesting and cool Batman props do not remember a lick of what they were. Why? Because nothing mattered in that moment. The only thing that mattered was Kangaroo Jack, and I want that on my headstone.
And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I am also your host, Cassie, and I do not know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we're looking at Series 4, Episode 6, The Doctor's Daughter.
Featuring not Kristen Bell?
Featuring not Kristen Bell.
I would bet money that that's Kristen Bell.
It is not Kristen Bell. It is a British actress. In fact,
I don't know.
In fact, I think
you're wrong.
I think that's actually, you surprisingly led me into a little segue here very quickly.
No.
What she is seeing is a title card they've put up on Max, and it's a picture of presumably the Doctor's daughter. I will let you know that is she is playing the Doctor's daughter in this episode. This will be our first Cassie Professy, I guess palm reading might be a good way of putting it. I don't know, because I'm not going to have you guess something.
Palm reading?
Yeah, I'm not going to have you guess something that's in the story this time. This is a real world fact, and I can give you the point before the episode even starts.
Not a palm reading, because that, if we're trying to find a name for it, which this might also be part of the game, is me trying to rename this segment.
Okay.
Because palm reading would more or less be looking at something that is already there. Because for palmistry, it is looking at the lines on your hand and,
what's that?
Trying to, like,
maybe a cold reading is a better word for it.
Maybe.
Where it's like you're not.
Maybe
you're,
like.
You're just gonna try and look at this person, and make some identifications here.
The Cassie cold read.
The Cassie cold read. Yeah, our first Cassie cold read. So,
is there a word that could replace read that starts with the letter C?
Cassie cold call.
I'll allow it.
All right.
So we could do better. We could do better.
Yeah.
This is a triple C then.
Yeah. So, for this one you're seeing here is related to two different doctors, both of whom you've met.
Oh, fuck you.
I will give you the point if you can guess either of those relations.
Can you do me a solid then and go over the doctors that we have met.
Okay. So you've met five doctors in total so far. You've met the third doctor, John Pertwee. He was the guy who wore velvet.
Yes, and talked a little bit like this.
Yes, and then we had the fourth doctor with the big Scarfy McBig hat.
Yeah, Scarfy McBig hat, my favorite.
And then in Time Crash, you met the fifth doctor. He was the one with the celery on his lapel pin.
So 3, 4, 5.
You've met 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
Then you've met the ninth doctor, Christopher Eccleston. And obviously, as you've seen so far in this one, you have met the tenth doctor, David Tennant. She is related to two of those doctors.
Related?
That's what you're having to guess.
Based off of the fact, and solely the fact that she's blonde,
okay,
I can deduce and boil that down to 3 and 5.
Okay.
Which I feel like it's simplistic, but I don't really have anything else to go off of.
Okay.
How she would be related to 3 and then 5.
Do you want to pick one and say...
Hi, I'm autistic. So the way that she's related to them is that they're odd numbers.
I mean, the actress is related to the actors that have played the doctors.
Oh, like actually
yes,
related.
Actually in real life.
Oh, yes. Okay. 3 and 5. Wait. Okay. No, maybe. Hold on. No, we did this. It's five and 10.
All right.
It's 5 and 10.
Do you know how she's related to 5 and 10?
It's 5 and 10. Yeah. Because you said this already, and I'm trying to run through because you were like, oh, see, special bonus episode. Fuck, I forgot about a little bonus episode.
There was a part of me that had wondered if you would remember that I had made that connection.
Yes. Okay. So, the daughter's doctor.
The doctor.
Shut up. Let me speak. The doctor's daughter is David Tennant's wife, and number 5 is her father.
That is correct. Yes.
Woo! I remembered.
This is your first time you were basically quizzed on seeing if you paid attention to me. Yes, her name is Georgia Moffat. Daughter.
Oh, Stephen Moffat relation?
Not related to Stephen Moffat, because Peter Davidson's actual last name is Peter Moffat. He was Peter Davidson for, I believe, some kind of union reason. But his actual birth name is Peter Moffat, father of Georgia Moffat, who is now Georgia Moffat Tennant because she is David Tennant's wife. Or as the story often gets told, once upon a time, the doctor had a daughter who then played the doctor's daughter and then married the doctor and had the doctor's daughter. I just think that's fun. She in this episode will be playing Jenny, who is the doctor's daughter. I wasn't really going to quiz you on that because the reason she is the doctor's daughter is, in my opinion, kind of dumb. But we'll get to it. It was funny. She actually initially auditioned for a different episode this season. But when somebody realized that she is Peter Davidson's doctor, they went, hang on, we have the perfect episode for you. And they hung on to her for a few more episodes so she could play this part.
I have always wondered why you get so hopped up and like spirited about certain doctors, the actors, like sons that look a lot like their fathers, mm-hmm. and how you're angry that they haven't come back to play either their sons or their versions of their doctor,
yeah.
their dad doctor.
Yeah.
And that's all I heard coming out of my mouth right now. I've never fully understood why you get so angry about that, but now I understand, because they have done it before.
Yeah. Actually, the first time they'd ever done a recasting of a doctor was in the they had an anniversary special called The Five Doctors that we'll probably watch at some point, where the first doctor, William Hartnell, Bill Hartnell had already passed away, and so they hired another actor to play the first doctor. And they do it again later on in this series, but we'll get to that when we get to that. You know, there's a part of it that's like, part of the fun of Doctor Who is that it is a time travel show. And because because there's time travel, the Doctor can overlap on his own story.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's interesting times that they can do that. And I always just feel like it's a missed opportunity when you don't utilize the fullest potential of the show's rich history.
Yeah, there is also something to be said, too, and I'm sure that my words will immediately be debunked by you.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any possibility that their children don't want to be a part of that?
Oh, I'm sure that there's plenty of them that are, they're either not actors or they don't look the part. Supposedly, Sean Pertwee, who is John Pertwee's son, the one that I mentioned should play the third Doctor at some point.
Mm-hmm.
He has supposedly said that he doesn't feel like he could live up to the role because it was such an iconic role for his father. I personally disagree with that. I think that if he was invited, he should take it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, plenty of their kids aren't actors.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's not that I think all of them should always do that, but there's a couple of occasions, especially Sean Pertwee, who is an accomplished actor in his own right, who looks a lot like his father and also has skills doing stunt work like his father did. Sean Pertwee played Alfred Pennyworth on the show Gotham.
Damn, he does look like his dad.
Yeah, right?
And he's, according to my cursory Google search, is 60 this year, so he is the same age.
I think he actually might even be a little older than John was. I think John was in his 50s. But, you know, he certainly looks the part, and he's in decent enough shape for it. I'm sure he'd be fine. You know, that's where my hangups are. Is like, I'm not like angry that if they don't want to do it. I just feel like there's missed opportunities that I wish it would be taken.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're getting a little off topic here because we do still have one other. We do have a proper Cassie Perfassi to do for this episode. Fun thing about Georgia Moffat being in this, though, this is actually where she met David Tennant.
Cute.
Yeah. It's interesting when you know that I don't think David Tennant was technically single at the time he was filming this episode. He's a little cagey about their initial meetings because of that.
Yes, but even still. But
yeah, I mean, they've been together.
Of course they're going to meet on this episode.
Yeah. Well, this also, like I said, this episode came out in 2008, and they are still together. 16 years later?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for however cool or uncool the like initial sparks were, who cares? Like, they clearly love each other and have a very happy family together.
I want to find a love like that.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Maybe one day you'll find a partner that won't drag you into their dummy podcasts. But until then, you're stuck with me.
Their dummy podcast. Hi, welcome to our podcast. It's Dummy.
Welcome to Who Is My Dummy?
Starring me, your dummy.
Turns out this whole time, this podcast has been me and you as a puppet. You've been my dummy.
Why am I the dummy? You're the dummy dummy.
So let's do the actual Cassie Perfassi for this episode, since you got the first point already for the 2 points.
Woo.
So you're at minimum 50% here for this episode. I had originally thought maybe I could ask you some other question about the Doctor's Daughter, but I thought maybe I would just let the episode itself play out. So instead, I will tell you this episode features an alien species known as the Hath. And they are...
The Hat?
Hath. H-A-T-H.
The Hatta?
Yeah, the Hatta.
Hath you any lemons to make lemonade?
The Hath are humanoid versions of...
From an old world, presumably 1600.
They are ye olde English aliens.
Yes.
No, the Hath are a humanoid species that resemble a kind of animal. And I will give you... I will let you decide what kind of animal that is. I will let you use a large umbrella term. You don't have to be super specific.
Mammal.
You think they're a mammal?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to see how broad I could get.
I think that'd be fine. I'm giving you a broad enough question that a broad enough answer would be fine.
Can you get more specific?
They're not any kind of animal we've seen so far.
Okay.
So they wouldn't be like cats or cat-like. They wouldn't be big, dumb babies.
So the animals that we've seen, though, is rhino,
mm-hmm.
cat,
yep.
big potato,
yep,
big, dumb, stupid babies, fat.
Fat.
Can I
Banacephalata.
Banacephalata. He technically...
There were the bats from school reunion.
Ew, fuck those guys. The scary mosquito monster things from the episode with Rose's father.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that the Ood are most closely related to, like, octopus.
Okay.
Or some kind of cephalopod. Just thinking about animals here.
Yeah. I was just skimming, through real quick to see if anybody else jumped out at me that we'd forgotten.
Because I'm really trying to rack my brain to see or to think about if there was anything that any, like, species that we haven't touched on.
Okay.
So we haven't really seen any sort of reptile.
Okay.
Or bird.
Okay.
This might be thinking into it a little bit too much. We have even seen arachnid, but we haven't.
That is true. We have seen big spider lady.
Can I ask if bird or reptile is correct?
No, neither of them are correct.
Okay. So I can rule those out entirely.
Although it is funny, we will eventually have aliens that are half bird and aliens that are half
reptile. Do they play accordion and are really cool and also named Cass?
Nope, that is a different franchise.
Mm.
Although
I think Cass could legitimately show up though in any franchise and he'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Of course this giant blue macaw looking motherfucker playing an accordion happens to also be in Game of Thrones. Why not?
Of course this giant blue accordion playing bird is here in Bridgerton.
Yeah.
He's down to fuck.
I'm going to say rodent.
Rodent. Okay.
Can I? Yeah. Because I know I said monkey in the past and I was wrong. And I went, I don't know if monkey alien is what we want to go with. Particularly since there was the simian planet in Futurama.
Yeah. And there's plenty of like, you know, that covers a wide variety of things. You know, you got your.
They could be rats.
Yeah, your rats, your mice.
They could be bigger rats.
Weasels,
could,
stoats, meerkats.
Yeah, I'm. Possum. Yeah. I mean, possums are marsupials.
No, well, I would still count it, I think, as rodent, just because it's classification socially more than it is scientifically in that case.
Yeah, well, because marsupials are also like kangaroos. Yeah. Are kangaroos rodents?
Yes.
Big, giant rodent.
But can you imagine being ratatouille'd by a kangaroo?
My God.
Kangaroody.
Jeez Louise. Instead of pulling your hair, he just kicks you in the back.
You're wearing him as a backpack and everyone has to.
Ow!
All right. So
rodent. I'm saying rodent.
All right. So Cassie's profanity today is that the Hath are humanoid rodents. We will find out together as we watch The Doctor's Daughter. Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by chainsaws. Back to the episode. And we are back from The Doctor's Daughter.
Zachary.
This episode is dumb.
Zachary, this show gets stupider and stupider every time we watch an episode. It gets me. It just, much like praise at work, an episode will come along that makes me go, I get it. I get why people like it.
Mm-hmm.
More recently, it was Blink. I fully understand.
I don't know how this sound is picking up, but Cassie is bonking her head on the microphone. Yeah, this feels like such a flimsy plot. Here's the thing,
No, do you know what I'm thinking of?
Mm-hmm.
Other. When can I leave to be on my own? I've got so many worlds to see. Civilizations to save.
Creatures to defeat.
Lots of running to do.
It feels like someone thought they were being really clever. You know what I mean? Like there's a few ideas in here that you could build a story around.
I do the thing at the beginning of every episode, there's always something that pisses me off, but I have learned that it is not interesting to hear me complain about nitpicky shit, so I have decided I will accept the loopy, silly science logic of the show and just let things be as they are.
Mm-hmm.
I do not need to be a baby over every little thing that doesn't make sense. Why on God's green earth do they demand that they be scanned? Their hands are clean. Scan. There are three people for them to scan. They only do the doctor, though.
I believe it is written that they only do the doctor because the Hath attack, and they are supposed to be stopped from scanning them. But there's also like a long chill session where they're like, hey,
they're
everybody.
Just chatting. Yeah. And then it's Exposition City.
Yeah, it's like I said, this episode is my least favorite of this season. I think this is by far the it's especially because we're about to get on the best run of episodes this show will ever have. Like, just banger after banger after banger for like a season and a half after
How
this.
Do they compare to Blink?
Dr.
Light?
So, one of the upcoming two-parters, which we'll get to soon, was my favorite story of the show for like 6 years.
Wow.
It was not topped until the 12th Doctor's last season. But we'll get to that soon. Basically, from the next episode to the end of the next season, there's not really a dud in there.
Because,
like, this is the last dud for a long
there
time.
There are some things... No! There wasn't anything in this episode that I truly went, what a cool, clever idea. Because everything that I thought, wow, that could be cool and clever.
Yeah.
Like, the Hath being one of them. I had the biggest issue with those fuckers. Because if they're fish people, I'll buy into it. Sure. They have their little breathing apparatus. However,
filled with green Gatorade.
Yeah. I wrote down Kool-Aid splooge jars.
Blowing bubbles in it like it's chocolate milk.
Yeah, and then them just going, okay, but fish, physiologically speaking, need to be damp. Fish survive in wet environments. Imagine that. So I can forgive the fish-human hybrid bullshit of saying, okay, yes, they can technically survive outside of water.
It's
their gills are vestigial, then, yet they still move.
It's functioning
they
on
don't
like
breathe. Fish breathe in water, for lack of a better term, they breathe in water through their mouth, and then all of the crap gets filtered out through their gills, and then they take in oxygen, and that is fish 101 for dummies. These fish don't need gills if they're out in the open air because their mouths are actively being covered by what I can only assume is recycled water stuff. It was making me so angry that there was then no other way that their scales were being kept damp.
Mm-hmm.
Being underground, you can make the excuse that perhaps underground is just unusually moist, so they don't need to be. They don't need any kind of apparatus or helmet, a la SpongeBob when they visit Sandy's house. Mm-hmm.
Or was it the fish in Chicken Little?
Yes, because he had a whole like reverse underwater helmet where the inside of the helmet was filled with water. Hilarious! I love that.
And here's the thing: I don't think that would be a problem.
It's a
Well, what I mean is, I don't think that would be a problem if it was the only problem. There are so many places in this episode that require you to just accept what they have said as being true and not think about it for a time. Like,
because
yes,
even if
you also bring up, why don't they scan Donna and Martha? Why do they only scan the doctor? And the reason why is because if they did all that, they'd have to juggle two more characters in the doctor's daughter.
Yes, except for the part where they could have just scanned them. Their clones could have been made. Their clones could have been immediately shot.
Yeah. Like,
there were so many extras in this. You could have spared two of them.
Yeah. I mean, it would
have
been...
them appear as clones of these two other characters, shoot them, and then just plug them back into another scene.
Or, you know, just say, hey, the doctor's DNA is weird. It fucked up the machine. That's why they don't scan the other two, because the doctor's not a human.
Yeah. Doctor gets scanned. They pull in Donna. Oh, no, the machine is no longer functioning. Why? Yeah. Doctor broke it.
I have to assume there was something in the script that got cut, because there's no you can't start the episode that way and not think about.
having these people insist, because it's not, they could have even made it a sexist thing and said, we only scan the men.
Yeah, there are so many things you could put there, but instead there's nothing.
Because even if it had been an issue or a thing of like, okay, well, we're going to scan just him because we want this like strong male fighter DNA soldier bullshit.
Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever the excuse is, I'll buy into it. It's the fact that there was no reasoning. And when you set out the gate with a, we need to be scanned because we're building a clone army. And clearly it's something that they do a lot, because they even say that there have been 20 some odd generations of clones.
They've said there have been 6,000 generations.
So it's something they like to do. They have the resources available to clone easily then.
Yeah, they start.
So even if they broke down that machine, they could have taken them to any other machine. Yeah.
And also when you learn later on that the war's only been going on for a week.
Seven days.
That makes you realize the clone, they for some reason made Cobb old. Why did the machine choose to make a 60-year-old man?
No, why did the doctor choose to be a 60-year-old man?
Well, it's just like, why? Like, if you're trying to make soldiers in the peak of physical condition, which is what Jenny says she is supposed to be, why did it generate someone who is 30 years past his prime? Physically speaking, anyway.
Maybe the person that they cloned from was an old soul.
Yeah, there's so many things here where it's just like, this was not well. There's a whole many things here that they could be interesting if the story was built around the one thing, but because they're mashing so many things together, it just becomes a mess. Like, it feels like the doctor having a daughter is an interesting concept in itself. A war that's been going on for generations, but really has only been a week. That's another interesting idea. But when you start trying to like throw all these things into a pot,
A dead planet that is in the process of terraforming.
Yeah. You got this dead planet that's in the process of terraforming. You've got, like you said, the Hath, or for some reason these fish people that, like, they're physio-
Were they there first? Where did they come from?
So they do explain that. The Hath and the humans were together on the ship that arrived on this planet, but their commanding officer died. And when they were supposed to pick a replacement commanding officer, the Hath and the humans started arguing over who it should be, and that spurned off into a war that's lasted for a week.
A week.
And the way that they build that up is by all these plaques dictating what day it is, which also is, like...
Stupid.
It's also like,
it's
why?
Stupid.
Why are you dating all these things?
You can just say it's stupid, Zach.
Yeah.
We're in a safe space. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Good for Martha for using her office skills. It's very amusing to me how many times Martha's experience in working in an office has proved helpful.
Super temp.
Yeah, super temp. Cut to her being in the American office. She's just built for the one job.
You know, you're probably right.
And I also know that it is not, it's not worth the time or money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little thing. Episode's already a mess. They probably did not need to. The one thing that I appreciated a lot about the Santarans is we can also accept that they are another clone race.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the one that has his helmet off and then the other that says, oh, good, let me take my helmet off, too. And you have two very similar looking alien faces, but very different.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one has the silly little patch of hair and the other has the buck teeth. The Hath are identical in every way, shape, and form. And you can't tell me that that's the process of cloning, because the clones that were coming out of the machine all looked dramatically different.
Well, it's also another issue where, you know, I think this was probably a more problem of budget than anything else, is that because the Hath are these big, complicated suit creatures, there's clearly much fewer of them than there are of the humans.
There's much fewer of them. You could even boil it down to... They are identical, but the way that you can tell them apart is by changing the color of their little breathing apparatus. Just a simple little something like that. Give one of them a red streak. Let one of them dye their hair.
Change the color of the liquid inside or something.
That's what I mean, is that there was nothing to differentiate them. And so I appreciate that we
have... Give one a hat.
Yeah. Let one get its... gills pierced.
Hashtag let fish wear hats.
Fish pride. Spelled P-H. Anyways. But it's the fact that we understand at some point that the one that Martha helps after relocating its dislocated shoulder. Gross. Scary. Hate watching that. You understand, like, this is one that is different from the rest, but there is nothing to differentiate it and therefore make you care about it. So when it sacrifices itself into the prune bog that is on ground, the fig puddle, whatever you want to call it.
The quicksand.
Yeah, sure.
Quick mud.
No, there were bits in it. It was soup. Whatever you want to call it, we can come up with names.
The primordial ooze.
Thank you. Well, the goop. it sacrifices itself to save Martha. And for a brief moment, you go, well, surely it's going to be okay because it's a fish.
Yeah, you think
this is effectively a pool of stuff that it can swim and survive in because it's a fucking fish. That makes sense then why we have these fish creatures on this planet.
Yeah, they're doing
because there's some weird little storyline where having them be fish makes sense. But no, it jumps in to save Martha and then promptly bubbles come out of where? I'm not entirely sure because bubbles shouldn't be coming out of a fish.
He had a little fear fart on his way down.
I suppose I've never seen a fish fart, but hey, there's a first for everything.
It does feel like, you know, at the end of the episode, the topsoil is removed by the terraforming.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Martha is devastated in that moment. She's sobbing. Her friend, her dearest, bestest friend of the past 45 minutes has sacrificed himself to save her. And she's crying as if this has been somebody that she's gotten to know deeply and very well. As if there wasn't an army of identical replicants not far behind them.
I will say, I do sort of understand her being upset about it.
Not she's just, devastated, though, dude!
Well, what I mean by that is, he didn't want to go to the surface. She talked him into coming and then killed him. Or at least got him killed.
Yeah, to feel the wind on his face. Martha, he's a fish. He doesn't want to feel the wind. That could kill him.
He wants to feel the wet on his face.
Yes! The wetter the better. I'm sorry, Bailey. I'm yelling. She doesn't like when I get really heated up about... I do not like when you get heated up about fish.
I do not like when you get upset about the Who Doctor.
You
almost get as upset as I do about the me doctor. I don't like going to them. Please don't take me again.
It's more like, doctor, am I right, they put ladies?
They put needles in my butt.
They took my temperature once and I screamed. And that is a real thing that happened. She looked at me and went, it's like, I'm so sorry. Why make them fish if they're not going to do any sort of fishy thing?
Yeah, it feels like such a flimsy... Like, again, it's flimsy. Like, if it was the only problem, it probably wouldn't be that big a deal because you'd be like, okay, that's the thing I have to accept this episode.
Because even if they
were... But there's so many things you have to just, like, take as writ.
They're in the sewers. Rat people would have made way more sense.
Or like a mole or something that digs.
Insect. Cockroach people.
Yeah.
Something where it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, it makes sense that now, you know, you could even make the very fair argument of, well, this is an underground species of alien. So they help the humans build their city, build their camps, at which point there is a power vacuum.
Yeah. And then you get also get
even if you had made the war going on for a month, that would have made more logical sense why lots of shit can happen in a month that you forget about, i.e., completely forgot we're in July. Fireworks happened at the top of this month. Completely forgot about that. Why? Month is a long time.
Yeah, and it's you know, they establish there's one part where it's in the background. You can hear them relaying like this generation extinct, this generation 30 something dead,
14 alive.
Dead. But I think the highest one went was like 50 or so. That still means that you're talking about tens of thousands dead in a week. Where are all the bodies? Why aren't they marching over corpses constantly?
Where
there should be piles of bodies.
For jumping to the very end of it as well, if they cremate their bodies pretty quick, Jenny would not be alive.
You mean if they decay?
If they...
Oh, you mean...
Well, no, I'm saying that if the people, the survivors, cremated bodies as soon as they hit the ground.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, a very reasonable explanation as to why there aren't as many...
Yeah.
You know, as many corpses.
And even then, we would need to see that.
Yeah.
We don't see it, so we're sitting here having to make up answers for the episode. Yes, we're having to make up hypotheticals for the episode because it didn't bother to think of, okay, if we're doing this, then what?
I don't even need you to explain it, which they did a hell of a lot of at one point. Just exposition town.
Yeah, and I'm not upset with like the idea of we've had this twist here and here, now at the end we explain this twist. The problem is the explanation raises further questions.
Mm-hmm.
This episode has some cool ideas in it, but it's thrown so many of them together that the cool ideas just end up feeling not even half-baked. They feel like you haven't even started the recipe yet.
It feels like
you went to the store and bought flour, but you don't have cookies yet.
I was going
to
say, conceptually, it feels like a really bad cowgirl cookie. And what I mean by that is, like, cowgirl cookies do have a lot of shit going on in them. They're oatmeal, they're chocolate chip, they're craisin, they're coconut, they're sunflower seed. There's so much.
Mm-hmm.
But 9 times out of 10, they're done very well. However, you get the one that has the addition of, like, walnuts. Too many, too much variety.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what the walnuts in this episode is. Because we haven't even begun to talk about Jenny.
Honestly, I think Jenny might be the walnut.
Jenny might be the walnut.
Because it's sidetracking so many of these things by having the doctor do this like father-daughter thing. Which, you know, there's an interesting thing there. But it's also that kind of gets done to death. Like, there's a lot of situations where, like, we just watched Logan the other night. It was also doing this, like, reluctant dad thing. Like, that's a really common trope.
Logan is also a veteran of war. He's not also a Time Lord.
And he can also regenerate. He just looks the same every time.
Oh my god, wait, hold on. Skirt pause. Is the Doctor part Wolverine?
Or is the Wolverine part is he Dr. Wolverine?
Oh my god. Marvel, get in on this! Call the BBC!
It's on Disney Plus now, you can do it!
Oh no! The possibility! It's there! But I think Jenny might be the walnut.
Yeah, it's...
Because it's... Rewriting the episode, they arrive on this alien planet. They scan the doctor because his hands are clean. The doctor's biology DNA wrecks their machine. They're mad about it. They have to take him in for questioning, which is why nobody else gets scanned. You don't need clones.
Mm-hmm.
The clones, I think, in general, might be the walnut, Jenny in specific, but I think that whole principle.
You know, I don't know if there's any one thing that's like, I think if you took any one of them out, you would find something. Because the problem is without the clones, you lose that multi-generation thing about like generations happening in a week, and that's why it feels like
it's more
gone
forever.
Yeah,
but you can also say that they're not aliens, and there is specific, like, you could say that there's some kind of fucking humanoid starfish where if their limbs get blown off, a new person grows from that. This is wibbly-wobbly, spacey-wacy, timey-wimey bullshit where anything is possible. You don't need clones. You could just have this be a specific type of humanoid that reproduces asexually.
Yeah.
The fish are just fucking fish people. they can have their own means of cloning, but also there is another version of this story that does not involve any sort of cloning machinery where it's like, oh yeah, these are technically clones of the parent, but eh.
Well, also it part of the cloning thing also introduces another hiccup where I feel like then part of the strategy of the war should be to destroy the other faction's cloning machines. Because yes. That's how they keep making soldiers. Otherwise, you just keep going around in a circle.
Yes.
Instead, it's to go find the source. Because the source is a weapon that can do a thing.
The source is a nuclear bomb? Question mark?
Yeah, the source ends up not being that, obviously. But, you know, I feel like...
It is a ball of gas.
Like I said, we're saying Jenny might be the walnut. Also because she does a lot of plot cul-de-sacs. It just sort of repeats the same idea a lot, that the Doctor really doesn't like... guns. Mm-hmm. Like, not just war, but guns.
Which is something that was brought up yesterday.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah, in the last episode, that was also, like, the Doctor throwing away guns all the time. But again...
That's not something that we've seen in previous episodes to make us go, all right, this is very important for the Doctor.
Yeah, it feels like almost like they inserted it last episode to be a reminder this episode. Like they knew there was going to be a whole thing here, so it's like, we got to establish it at least a little bit.
That's like if Edna Mode just kept, every time she came on screen, had to remind the audience that she doesn't like apes.
Hello, everyone. As a reminder, I am vegan.
No capes, no pants.
No pants.
Me in this heat, no pants.
It rang hollow in the last episode because the Doctor is then willing to blow up all of the Santarans. Like, what do you, like, I get, like, is it just guns specifically you have a hang up with?
Was there Why? Something, was there, when did this episode come out?
2008.
Okay. Was there a big shootout that happened in the U.S. in 2008 that I'm forgetting about? But if there was something that happened in 2007 or early 2008, because it just feels, I don't want to say it feels stupid. Clearly, it's important to somebody.
It feels disingenuous.
It feels like a very good high school skit. And I'm using the word skit specifically, because a sketch is a formally written out bit of comedy. A skit is something that you see at a school assembly saying no to drugs, don't steal cars, pirating music is just as bad as stealing a purse. So that's kind of what I'm feeling like, is that this feels like the Doctor is saying no to guns because something happened in real life.
Yeah, I wouldn't know specifically. I mean, I feel like maybe what they're trying to do is this, because they also brought up that the Doctor is a, you know, because of the Time War, they might be trying to link those thoughts together, that now because the Doctor is this, like, former soldier who is in a war
call him a veteran.
Yeah, a veteran that it was in a war that he lost, that he has this hang up with, you know, warfare and fighting and those sorts. But again, the Doctor has blown things up before.
That, and also we saw it in Eccleston's Doctor, fresh out of the war, and also screaming, crying, yelling at Dalek.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen the Doctor going through and processing this. Tenet Doctor came right out of the gate being the, like, blissful ignorance of his past and saying, well, that's a thing that happened, but I'm just going to try to get over it.
Yeah, I mean, also a reminder that this Doctor's first story ended with him having a duel to the death. Like, guns are just specific. Are your specific hang-up? And it makes even less sense when you see, because, spoiler, the Doctor has established that he ended the Time War. He didn't end it with a gun, so it's not like he's got, like, a personal trauma with it that he's working through. It's a whole other thing.
The Doctor's gotten shot before.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't...
Like, the Doctor v. Gun is a weird...
Yeah, it's
a...
Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
In the interest of being fair, there are some things in this episode I really like. I think Georgia Moffat in particular gives a really good performance. I don't know if that was her doing those backflips through the laser hallway, but that was pretty impressive.
That was stupid, too.
I thought... Yeah, I do think... I think the writing for that moment is really dumb. Because later it's like, they blasted through the lasers. I'm like, you all have the same Like, you all downloaded the same information. Why can't they do the backflips?
Yeah, does that mean that only the doctor can do backflips? In which case...
Can I see it?
Can't fool me.
Aurora Borealis.
I will say I don't love the fact that she is playing this, like, doe-eyed soldier born sexy yesterday, but also she was born 15 minutes ago, so I can kind of let it pass.
Well, the nice thing is, it's not really...
Nobody else seems to have been born with liquid cat eyeliner.
Yeah, she's got beautiful blush on her cheeks. And she's got her winged eyeliner going. Like, why was that in the clone machine? Like,
there's a argument to be made of, like, yes, of course, like, Donna and Martha are also wearing makeup. They are actors on television. Mm-hmm. But
also had the opportunity to put on makeup that morning.
Well, that, and it's also done so in a way where it doesn't look like they're wearing anything. Mm-hmm. It's done well. For whatever reason, they went, no. Jenny has to be in cat eyeliner.
Yeah, oof.
You know, a little wingtip. She needs to have them fox eyes going on, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah, especially like if all she's been programmed for is combat.
Especially since it's not like, oh, well, we're trying to make this be like the new sex appeal for the Doctor. When the episode is called The Doctor's Daughter.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you mentioned Born Sexy yesterday, part of the reason why I don't think it feels quite like that is there's not really anyone that's like horny for her. Except David Tennant actually being horny for her on set.
Aww.
I mean, there's a cute moment of just like, oh, I'm locked in this prison cell. Does that mean I'm dangerous and or that I need protecting from men like you? That's the only time where it's like, that's kind of gross. But, you know, the meat of the plot is not about her being dumb and pretty.
No.
The meat of the plot is this.
Therefore, she doesn't need to be wearing a full face of makeup.
Yeah, no.
It reminds me, it was a bit, but it was an interview that somebody was doing, I think with Ginger Minj, and Ginger Minj is a drag queen, was doing a character, and they were like, oh my God, I love your makeup. She goes, oh, just this? That's just a little chapstick. As she's got her whole mug going.
Pretty good.
It's very good. Just a little chapstick. But it feels like that, where it's them trying to be like, oh, it's just a little, it's just natural. No, it's not.
So just going back to saying some positive things, I there's also some pretty good bits in it. I really like the, when you know, Jenny has like womanly wiled her way out of the prison cell. And then Donna's like, my turn. I've picked up a few womanly wiles in the years. The doctor's like, why don't we save your wiles for an emergency?
I missed that. I must have been writing something down.
And Donna just has this look on her face. I feel like there should have been a beat of like where she was mad at him, but instead, I guess it just wasn't written that the doctor instead is just like patting his pockets. She's just like, all right. And the doctor just pulls out a toy mouse. I guess he just keeps in his pocket at all times.
Hey, I keep cat treats in my car.
We've established
at all times
that the doctor keeps a yo-yo, a toy mouse.
A cool rock.
There's so many things he just keeps in those pockets.
Oh my God, I'm so mad because we used to have one of those toy mice. It was green, but it died or it ran away. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, and we seem to be on the same page here. We're kind of talking in circles. So let's skip ahead a little bit to when they find the source. And it's just
one real quick teeny tiny thing.
Okay.
Was Martha's role only to relocate that one guy's shoulder, and that was her reasoning for being in this episode? Because honestly, not super needed.
She also ended up leading the Hath to, she was trying to get to the source before the Hath were. So in a sense, yes, it was. Well, also when you think about it, it also gives the Doctor like a reason to get to this place.
Fair
enough. he's trying to pick up Donna. He's trying to pick up Martha.
Angry and upset that there was a doctor, an actual doctor, written into this episode, and jumping to the end, somebody is dying and her only response is just no,
can't do anything about it, sorry. Yeah. Which in fairness, Jenny got shot in the heart, so not much you can do about that unless she's a surgeon with her full equipment right now.
One of two hearts.
Yeah. Well, that would have also been an interesting like way to bring that up is like, oh, she got shot in the heart, but not both of them. But instead, she's not.
She just goes, nah. It's like that SNL sketch with Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add? No, I don't. When they're the
bear and the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
So when they get to the source, they find out it's just like they find out that it's terraforming gases.
And it's just a terrarium of gas.
And it's been sitting inside their spaceship that looks like Saruman's tower from Lord of the Rings.
And even big. Well, I guess it's like a greenhouse.
Yeah. And then inside there's the foresty, all the plants that have been.
Love
forming.
That. Love me a good. That I take it back. That was my favorite part of the episode is because they go in a greenhouse and I love greenhouses. Love them.
Someone's like, Cassie, what's your favorite part of Doctor Who? Plants. I really like the part where there's trees.
I like when they go into the botanical garden on a different planet. And they release a ball of gas into the atmosphere, narrowly killing everyone inside because it's a concentrated ball of gas. They should all be dead.
Yeah, he just smashes it on the ground and is like, look at the gas. And it just sort of
I'm declaring the war is over. Me,
this
beloved
person.
Doctor of it, both the Hath and the humans.
Yeah, the person who has nothing to do with this other than like my moral
other
righteousness.
Other than I just so happen to be here and also my daughter is here.
Yeah, and it's. And so but when he smashes it, the gases just kind of hover there in the air. They don't like start dispersing.
The gases are also confused.
They're like, oh, wait, are we, hang on. I'm not waking up yet. Hang on. I got to get my gas pants on.
I do like the idea for just a brief second. You were doing the gases as if they were Foghorn Leghorn.
I say, hang on. How did I get up here?
Yeah.
I was in a ball. I was sleeping in a ball just a minute ago, boy. Now you smashed me and you woke me up and you expect me to get up and start doing my job right away. I'm saying it's not fair, boy.
Oh, what I'm getting.
A ball of gases.
All I'm saying is that the ball of gas is American. We are all balls of gas.
Yeah, and so the humans and the Hath meet up here, and they see the Doctor give this big emotional speech and, like, smash the gases on the ground. And then everyone just sort of like, oh, okay, and they start putting their guns down.
Except for one!
Except for Cobb, who Cobb then is just like, Jenny, we can't afford to keep having Jenny on staff, so...
No, he goes to kill the Doctor, and then Jenny jumps in front of it.
Right, seemingly for no reason. I could justify the, like, the Doctor has just eroded his sense of existence. But because he says nothing, he just sort of points up and shoots.
I think he just doesn't like the Doctor. He don't like his smarmy little face.
Yeah, and so he shoots Jenny... And we have the little moment of like, is there anything you could do, Martha? Martha's just, mm-mm.
No, there ain't.
And so what the Doctor does is the Doctor then picks up the gun, walks over and points it at Cobb's head, and no one does anything.
Except for me in the room going, whoa!
Like, the soldiers are holding Cobb down while he's got the gun pointed to his head, and none of them are even reacting to it. They're just like, oh, I guess we hold him so the Doctor
can
shoot
him. They don't say anything. The Hath are somehow still fucking alive. They've just gotten bombarded with so much gas. Those fishes should be dead.
And then the Doctor's like, I never would. Remember, I never would. And he's like shaking the gun in
Nobody
front of him.
Cares about you, Doctor! Nobody knows who you are except for the few people that know who you are.
Make the foundation of this society a man who never would. And I'm like, what about
all of the clones that came before that died at the hands of whatever? The tens of thousands of people that are dead from seemingly years of warfare. Turns out it was a fucking week, 7 days exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donna, for finding out that little cute fun fact.
Thank you for checking the dummy decimal system.
Oh my god.
Can we also just briefly circle back to this thing about 7 days, is that the Doctor can't recognize the calendar?
Because it's an American calendar.
You know, well, no, it's the new Byzantine calendar. He didn't recognize. I was like, what the fuck do you mean you didn't recognize a date? I can recognize the date when other countries have their version. Like, I recognize that it's in a different order, but I could tell you that's a date.
Yeah, it really stresses me out, though, if I go, is it the month of December Or is it the 12th day of the month? I can't. I don't know. Anytime after that, I'm golden. I know exactly when it is.
Yeah. Jenny, as we said, gets shot. And the doctor's like, well, she's got two hearts. Maybe she could be like me, meaning that she could regenerate.
Yeah.
But then Donna just like is like, there's no sign that she's like that, doctor. We should just go.
No, she's too much like me. That was always her problem. She was too much like me. You've known her for like 45 minutes. How do you know, doctor?
How many backflips through laser hallways have you done, doctor?
Yeah, she's nothing like you. She was a soldier built for this stupid war and just so happens to have similar DNA structures as you because you provided it.
Yeah,
against your own will, but I digress.
But at the end, Jenny is lying on this table and she does...
In the theater. They set her up, her funeral space up on top, on the stage with lights pointed directly at her. The only people by her side are Ahath of no distinct name and what's his face with the unfortunate...
That was Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. And then the one clone that for whatever reason also...
For some reason the clone machine still get... We can clone a human body, but we haven't solved acne yet.
Poor guy. I never want to make fun of people for their acne.
I'm not making fun of the acne. I'm making fun of the casting decision for that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... That's a plot hole. Like, that's another issue that we're having.
That's the least of my issues. Yeah. Is their actor's choice.
And then... Jenny wakes up from being dead.
After having spore magic terraforming gas exit into or out of her body.
That's the thing is,
I wasn't clear.
I'm still unclear if that's the terraforming gases that have revived her or if she really is a Time Lord and that was supposed to be her regenerating.
Oh, that timey-wimey. Yeah, like,
the problem is that when Time Lords regenerate, they look different. So I believe it's the terraforming gases because they're the same color.
They were the same color and they both had that unusual like blue-ishness.
Yeah. So I believe it was the terraforming gases. They bring life to the planet and therefore can also bring life to Jenny. But first, can I tell you the thing that makes me the most upset about this episode?
No, you actually can't.
Okay.
I don't want anybody to hear it. You keep that for yourself. Okay. Bottle it up. Take it to the post office. Mail it to a friend.
Put it inside of a box and then put that box inside of another box. And then you can mail that box to yourself. And when it arrives,
I'll smash it with a hammer.
Now, the thing that bothers me the most about this episode, Jenny never comes back.
Are you fucking with me?
No, I am not.
Are you for goddamn serious?
Yeah, so
do you think that this was their idea of being like, we're going to have our own little spinoff, the doctor's daughter?
I'm sure they had sort of like wrote her with the intention that they might bring her back at some point. And in fairness, Big Finish has done some audio dramas with her, one of which actually only comes out this October. I believe it's her third one comes out this October. But yeah, Jenny does not come back.
Which we could even argue at some point that there is a non-zero chance that one of the actual Tenet children could come back as the doctor's daughter.
Yeah, which I think would be kind of cute.
Because their children do look just like their parents. Yeah. At least because the two littlest ones that they don't put their faces on social medias, but like the middlest child, I think.
And I think they're older. I think at least one of their kids is an actor too. So it's very possible.
Yeah. So irrespective, we could bring it back full fucking circle and have the doctor's daughter come back and say, look at everything I've been doing. You don't look anything like my dad now.
You know, they do that whole monologue about like, I've got civilizations to save, creatures to defeat, and a lot of running to do. And I'm sitting here like, yeah. No, you don't.
Evidently,
you got nothing to do.
Evidently running away from the writers.
Yeah.
Away from the doctor, away from Donna.
Yeah, so there's
away from Earth.
Yeah, we're like, I understand that Doctor Who is a show that because it goes on for as long as it does, there's always time to bring that character back. Like they're bringing back companions from the classic series in the newest seasons. Like that's like it's kind of cool that they're doing that. So they could easily bring back Jenny at some point. But it feels very weird to me that the episode ends with that long monologue about all the things that she wants to do and places she wants to go. And then, but here we are 10 seasons later. We just, like, this is series 4. We just finished series 14. We have not seen Jenny. So in a good sense, this episode, pretty skippable.
Dead in the water.
Yeah.
Unlike the fish people.
Yeah.
Dead in the air.
We don't even get to hear anything about the bees this episode.
Oh my God, the bees. We don't even get like a cute little rose.
A cute little rose cameo?
Yeah, a cute little rose cameo, which she may or may not be coming back.
Although, maybe we'll get some in the next episode. Because
no, I'm still angry.
You're still angry?
Let me be angry for a second.
Okay.
Ah! All right. It's been a minute since we've had an episode. Because even the episodes...
We've had a real dud.
Since the episodes, the two-parter, just very meh. And this was also very meh. And so I'm circling back around to, why do I let you make me sit down and watch this stupid show and then talk about it for 45 minutes?
Well, maybe we'll get some look at the bees next episode, because episode is called The Unicorn and the Wasp.
Oh, please, for the love of God, give me something good.
Well, we will find out together if it's good on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Good morning, and in case I don't see you later, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. I did it!
End up sounding like we were bullying people that made this episode. Making TV is hard. Sometimes you have duds. It happens. Things don't go perfectly. For example, this podcast episode is coming out a day late because my speakers randomly decided to die. And this is just a podcast. But if you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening right now. Please give us 5 stars or a thumbs up to help the algorithm send us to other Whovians. Or hey, maybe even send this podcast to one yourself. You can follow us on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Speakers are fixed now, though, so we'll be back next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.